MGTOW men, welcome back. Please, please listen to today's entire talk because as I've been asking for more men to share their MGTOW testimonies about how they came to MGTOW and what MGTOW has done to benefit them in their lives, I've been receiving some stories of unbelievable peril that has been tiptoed past only for men to be able to see freedom on the other side of a seemingly pitch black tunnel. So I can't really wait much longer to read this one. I'm going to analyze it afterwards, and for the sake of the email, I will not use his real name. Although, unlike many emails that I receive, I'm going to be reading all of it because I think that every bit of it needs to be detailed. I felt compelled to share this story and feel free to make a video to show the journey that I took to become the MGTOW man that I am today, having turned 40 last year. I believe things happen for a reason, and the trials and tribulations that I've experienced through life have nothing but changed me for the better and have made me stronger. Like many young men growing up, I was indoctrinated by friends, family, and the media that you grow up, meet a woman of your dreams, marry her, have children, and then live happily ever after. I spent my youth and my 20s believing and living that lie. I came from a strong family and was brought up by parents who to this day are still married. They have been and continue to be the best parents anyone could wish for. I also have a little sister whom I love dearly. She is now married with children. Like many blue-pilled young men, I spent my youth chasing for that perfect woman that never existed. I dated girls throughout my 20s, but for some reason, I never felt compelled to make any of them my girlfriend. I was already worn down by the experience and the drama that women bring. I did the same things that young men would do back in the day to impress girls, shower them with attention and gifts, get into debt buying flashy sports cars, and then going to the gym to get that gym-honed physique, all just to try and attract the one. For various reasons, I started to doubt and question the need to find a girlfriend. My nearest and dearest always wonder and asked when I'm going to find a nice girl to settle down with. I simply replied, I'm looking. But inside, knowing that the drama that women can bring, I just wanted female company for sex. I never felt close enough to make any of them the one. Then I met a woman while I was at a nightclub celebrating my 30th birthday. I noticed that there was something different about her. Right there was the dead giveaway. Thought maybe Jezebel. I will only refer to her as X to protect her anonymity for reasons that I will go into later. I asked her out for a date and it hit it off pretty quickly. She is 11 years my senior but looked much younger, and I knew right then, okay, things were gonna go south. The first time we had sex together, it was out of this world. It was as if though I found the girl that I was looking for. I enjoyed her company. She had a quirky personality. I had sex with her from the get-go with no protection. She told me not to worry if she was on the pill. She already had a steady job bringing in good money, independent. Everything seemed great. And people say that women pretend to be something they're not for the first 90 days of their relationship. Well, all I can say is X did just that. What appeared on the surface as the perfect Nawalt started to reveal her true side. X became increasingly dependent and wanted to spend time with me a lot, and I went along with it, but soon got tired of it. Her drinking became a bit of an issue, and I did not enjoy her company when she started to get emotional. We began to have arguments, fallout, and then make up and have amazing sex again. It was as though she revealed all of this in the drama, and I soon wanted an out. Tired of what this relationship had become, in my mind, I only saw X as friends with benefits given her age. I plucked up the courage to tell her, and I wanted to end it. She did not take it well. We broke up, and I thought, you know, right there, that was the end. Right there, that was the end of the matter. And what followed was something that you would read in the news but never imagine it would happen to you. She began to stalk me, phoning me, texting me constantly to the point that I changed my number. Then, realizing that she could not reach me, she started to buzz my door to get into my apartment. She then sent me a note to say that she is pregnant, and my heart stopped the beat and didn't know what to do. The only thing left was to race over to her house. She then admitted it was a lie to get me to talk to her. I was so angry that she lied, but being the blue-pilled guy I was, I allowed her manipulation and reason to welcome her back into my life again, all because the amazing sex that we had and I, that was missing. However, things would quickly turn sour as her old ways would surface again, causing a rift. We would then spend the next 5 years having an off-and-on relationship, man, imagine that. She voiced her frustrations many times that I never wanted to make her my girlfriend, and it wasn't going anywhere. I simply wanted to use her for sex, which I did, but was never man enough to admit, knowing that I only wanted her as a friend with benefits. I never ever introduced her to my friends and family. I then decided that I had to end things. Things went back to normal. She made multiple attempts to get in touch. She then resorted to vandalizing my car twice. All right. I resisted and kept her shut out of my life. I then filed a restraining order. I lived the next 2 to 3 years on edge, hoping that ex would disappear. I began dating other girls, but never wanted to pursue anything serious with the fear that it would follow the same pattern. Then one evening, ex rang my apartment and wanted to see me for one last time. Thinking I was doing the right thing, I relented and went outside my apartment to talk to her. She seemed calmed and wanted to try again one last time. I firmly told her it was the end after all that she had put me through, and this is after a couple years. She then came up close to me and whispered, "Fine, I'm going to tell the police that you raped me." So here's when it begins. From that moment, I felt as though everything came crashing down on me. I could not believe what I was hearing. Nothing will prepare anyone to hear someone admitting that they are about to get a false allegation just to punish you. In anger, I then began to tell her to leave, get out of my sight. She began to shout from the top of her voice that I can't believe you raped me. I pushed her away and ran back into my apartment to call the police. I looked outside and ex went to my car and started to scratch all four sides. I began to feel nothing but anger and hatred and ran outside and pushed her away. She fell backwards onto the ground and started crying. A few moments later, the police arrived, and before they got out of the car, ex smirked and remarked, "You're going to pay for this." This is something on the movies right there. The police escorted ex away in the car, and the other officers took my side of the story, surprisingly. They filed an incident and advised me that I may be contacted to assist them on this matter. I was shook up afterwards. I could not believe what just happened. I never felt more alone. At this point, I could not turn to anyone. Who would even believe me, a man? 3 days later, the police came to my apartment. I was taken and detained for 8 hours for questioning. I gave my account of what happened and was relieved in that I was released without charge. The restraining order that I filed for 3 years before and throughout my time, I had kept evidence of any contact from X with strengthened my defense when I was being questioned. My lawyer, I'm in Europe, kept me updated with developments throughout 8 months. I received official confirmation that there would be no charges brought against me as there was no credible evidence for the accuser to bring this case to court. I was relieved. I felt as though I had been reborn after being nailed to the cross, like Jesus. To this day, I have kept this hidden, never told anyone apart from my best friend, whom I trust more than anyone else. Even my family doesn't know that. I could never imagine someone so close to me could look me in the eye and accuse me of rape. The fire that I had burning for X died that evening, and it changed me. Sunrise, I wanted to share this with you because all the Me Too hysteria has done nothing but bring all this back. I was very fortunate that there was due process when I was dealing with this false allegation to clear my name. I'm forever thankful that the authorities treated me in a fair way. I very much doubt I would receive the same treatment if this had happened today. And many thanks for taking the time to read this. I would be grateful to hear your thoughts and insight on this. And please share this with my MGTOW brothers out there, as this story needs to be told of what women are capable of doing. I would love to collaborate with you to give you a full account of my story as you're looking to write an ebook, and I'd be happy to contribute. Take care and hoodies up. Man. All right. So this story is truly staggering. And right here, I'm going to look at what I've kind of labeled as the post-game breakdown, the illusion of the Nawalt, all right, the promiscuity of borderline personality, which I'm assuming, Jezebel nature, the necessity of no, and her final opportunity. So we are in the midst of this Me Too movement, and I'm not even going to go there, as I know that everyone is nauseated over continued referencing of it and hearing it pop up in your newsfeed. I'll look at that at a different time. But why this is important in the Me Too lens that has been created is that it brings to light just how cautious you have to be as a MGTOW man. Even the most prepared man, taking all the precautions that he needs to, all right? Everything, down to taking screenshots of text messages, recording conversations if legal, even if these things are done today because contracts don't mean anything anymore, people's word is not valued at all, people do not value it themselves, because even consensual contracts before sex don't mean anything, and dissatisfying sexual relationships and breakups are actually being used as reasons for claims of sexual assault. This right here, these dangers and uncertainties should elucidate one of the sharpest images possible for going MGTOW if you don't already have one. All right, this horror story right here, we literally witnessed a man's life go flashing past our eyes and my eyes as I initially read this email. And because of this, we go MGTOW. We're careful, we ghost, and you don't play with fire when that fire is controlled by these characteristics in this person that we saw: revenge, deceit, malice, promiscuity, and unpredictableness, all right? Volatility. And brother, thank you for emailing this me, and I'm beyond thankful that you didn't suffer from a life in jail or a record tarnished for the rest of your existence for something you didn't do. But as we all have in these situations with women, in this case, a Jezebel woman from what I could extrapolate, we made mistakes where we could have cut things off and ended it. MGTOW is more so a preventative measure, and thus it should bring to note ways to protect yourself from a Jezebel woman. Because this is what happens, all right, when they are brought into your life. You will become her. You will fawn and lust over the power that you extract from being with not her, but her body. All right, many of us have been there. But in her presence, you feel ill, you feel dark, and that is because you carry the aura that she brought in. And if you've been following my channel for the past few months, you may remember my video in which I touch on the Jezebel woman. Before I move on here, I want to note the characteristics of this woman. The person will seek attention and promote themselves always, all right? They will attract people that are sharp and oftentimes attractive and hold good status in society. They are overly demanding and manipulative. They are confrontational and create ultimatums. They do possess charisma, but it is usually rooted in vain effort and narcissism. They pursue chaos and they can't live in any doldrum, and they can't accept denial, as it often reflects a past of rejection and abuse. And in modern day diagnoses and comparisons, a Jezebel woman is someone that is seen by modern understanding as someone that might possess borderline personality. I'm no expert on this, I'm just putting forth what I've observed. And the correlation here is that there are countless research articles and lit reviews and the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders that show repeated connections between BPD and things such as sexual impulsivity, sexual preoccupation, meaning it's always taking precedence in their mind. They have greater sexual exposure throughout their life. They value sex more, and they are likely very good at it and tempt you using that. And I don't know if this was the woman that you were with in the story, but from the sounds of it, I think that she might possess those traits. And again, I'm not here to condemn anyone that has the disorder, but I believe that there is also a spiritual connection to this type of person that is very dark, and you're going to take that on by being around them, all right? It is also important to consider contextual things, okay, such as her age. And as a result, she's going to be responding with more volatility to your demand that you break up, post-breakup, because she's in her 40s at this point. And for her, with each misstep, as the clock is ticking, okay, in a relationship that doesn't end in marriage, she is lessening the likelihood that she is actualizing something that, whether or not she realizes, she is seeking, which in these men is marriage. Expect huge blowback. And the reason that I say this is that someone that acts such as this woman did is often controlled by a past of pain and strife in their life. And this goes back to the sexual promiscuity. It's used as a mask. It's a band-aid. And this woman might have been abused. She may have been abandoned as well. And in order to restore or right this pain and emptiness in her mind, she fills it with a temporary fix repeatedly. All right. And many men get trapped in these type of cycles with these women. And these temporary fixes always fall along the path of being huge highs and massively deep lows in their life. They usually cannot exist in the doldrums. But they will also do so through sex. And regardless of how sex is portrayed in the media, sex is the most intimate physical activity that you can perform with another person in a short amount of time. And that time frame is an important thing to understand here. It does not replace long-term forms of intimacy and trust that can actually repair wounds and help people move on, such as talking about issues that you have with a person, learning to build trust through actions with a person, or creating a respect of character between two people. In the eyes of your ex, most likely, this intimacy through sex helped quell the pangs of abandonment. All right, and this is often the case in BPD. Sex is used both consciously and subconsciously to act as a tie to that other person, you know, which was you and which you experienced off and on, and especially during the early portions of your relationship, because that intimacy masks the feelings of abandonment. It creates a trick in her mind that intimacy in that moment is getting rid of that danger of abandonment. But we know that this doesn't create a true bond between people, but the minds tell them that at the time it does, and it will. Therefore, they just keep repeating the same process over and over, going from man to man without giving it much thought, because she will likely have lived with very little introspection at this point, okay? She will likely never have looked within at all throughout these years. She was 40, going for you. And right here is what and where it is so important, all right, about this this observation, this archetype that you experience, man. This was created by a system, most likely. Oftentimes, this is created by feminism subversively. And through the uprooting of the home, through the devaluing of the nuclear family and order, which you had yourself in your life, which you may have been more attracted to, with that gone, promiscuity and off-the-rails behavior is far more common, all right, in order to account for the lack of affirmation that they had throughout their life. It's a basic remedy and an explanation right here, but I guarantee you that over and over, you will see that this situation rears its ugly head. And MGTOW men, we are going our own way from a relationship standpoint right here because of the dividing power of feminism and relativism. You're going to be saddled with a job not only as a husband, but also as a reparative person. All the while, you have your own issues and societal constraints to sift through, so good luck managing that. And also, this situation not only paints a picture for why we go MGTOW, because we obviously don't want false allegations of rape saddled on us, but the reason that we go our own way and don't expose ourselves to these types of relationships. And the reason, one of them is, you can't undervalue the social capital that can be lost. And for example, okay, you win a settlement, you go through a divorce, whatever it may be, you may come out better on the other end, but many people around you can't get past the fact that you went through that. It's on your record socially, whether or not it is legally. And the way that you perceive you does have value. There's such thing as social currency. Obviously, people value it at different levels. And depending on how well off you are, it will have less value. All right, but it is an important thing to consider for any of you. And also, this takes a toll on your health. All right, and if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And during this time, you probably had a spike in cortisol frequently. Stress levels were high. You had to walk on eggshells to maintain the relationship and also keep her from your friends and family. And as a result, other areas of your life, they're impacted. Even work and your health, and maybe even your sleeping patterns. MGTOW won't benefit you ultimately if your health isn't in check, as you won't be able to enjoy life if you're not healthy and alive. And the impact that you bring around a volatile person like this can have on your health, okay, it can bring adrenal fatigue, tension headaches, increased blood pressure, depression, weight gain, and even you might develop paranoia, all right, which many Jezebel spirits, they've found a possess. They had that. You will adopt her characteristics, okay? And some of my closing thoughts here, there's a couple more of my observations. So, the illusion of the Nawal and the necessity of no. And I aim to be pithy. I realize I've kept you guys long. But those are the two things I want to bring up. So, what appeared to be a Nawal on the surface, that's what you uttered. She then started to reveal her true side of the story. We all know this. So many of us have been through this, all right? That's the line regarding the illusion of the Nawal. This principle that continues to rear its head in these stories and testimonies. And when on the outside, that woman that you're with appears to be perfect, but like anything with time, the blemishes are going to emerge. I like to think of it in this simplistic fashion right here. Anyone, regardless of how poor or rich, can go to the club and look like a millionaire with his life in line. The cufflinks, the initials embroidered on his jacket, the Rolex watch, everything. All right, every man can do that once for one night. Okay, how do you know that's the only thing that he owns, though? He might not own anything else. You don't even need $1,000 to pull off that look to steal a person's heart for a night physically. And that's what is happening with the supposed Nawal that I'm seeing, this illusion. People say that the first 3 months of relationship, all right, that's the honeymoon period, okay? I would give it less than that when your gut is the measurement tool, the barometer, because as you said from the beginning, you didn't want your parents or friends to know. You ascribe respect to those people. And for people that you respect, you don't want to show yourself in a way that would make them disrespect you. This is what and when you need to say no to that person. Man, I have not said no in many instances in which I needed to, and I suffered so many scars. And thank you for sharing that part. And that's something that I've been guilty of, all right? And this goes back to Malcolm Gladwell's book in his book Blink. All right, there can be as much value in the blink of an eye as in months of rational analysis. And I'm not discounting rational analysis, but right here it appeared that you did have that blink of an eye, that inkling that you knew this was an illusion. Okay, thus, when it was time to cut off and move on, it needs to be a quick 5-second cost-benefit analysis revealing that she is never going to be more to you, all right, if you cannot bring her even to your parents who you respect. And sure, emotions are involved, but now we have these stories to help us understand. And the key is being able to internalize, because many of us, myself included, we have goldfish memory. In MGTOW, you cannot just take in briefly because your brain does delete often. It needs to be internalized. So MGTOW men, I hope that this story reached you and you found something from it. I don't know how you wouldn't. And as I always say, whether you write down something eloquently or not, I couldn't care less. Send your story my way. I want to hear it and share it. And also at the end of each video, I've been announcing that I want to put a book together, a collection of stories from MGTOW men sharing how they came to MGTOW and what MGTOW has done to benefit them. To take part in that, let me know at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. Hoodies up, men. Hoodies out.